Blog Talk Radio.
Joins us in his usual spot, previewing a major. We will also see what he expects from some other guys besides Jordan Spieth and Rory. Obviously, the focus, the dual focus, will be on them. Graham Dillette will not be your major champion. He has a thumb injury and had to withdraw. It's the same injury that knocked him out of the Canadian Open, says the Associated Press. You may remember Dillette was desperately trying to win his national championship. He has still not won on the PGA Tour and was trying to make the Canadian Open his first PGA Tour win. Did not work out that way, and won't become a major champion this year either, unfortunately, due to his due to the thumb injury. So we will not see him talking to Bill McAtee on Sunday night, but somebody will, and we'll preview that over the course of the day. We're going to start with booing, because booing appears to be in vogue. I'm not quite sure why, but booing has always been in vogue. I'm not sure who started the boo. That'll be an interesting discovery to figure out who invented the boo. In any case, Jet fans decided a scrimmage, 7-on-7 scrimmage. They didn't even want to call it a scrimmage. They wanted to call it a practice. Just an open practice at MetLife Stadium, as I channel my inner AI. And at that practice, after a couple of incompletions, not an interception, not a fumble. We've talked so much about Geno Smith's turnover propensity, including some really dumb turnovers that evoke memories of Mark Sanchez. This wasn't about turnovers. This was about incompletions. And Jet fans booed Geno Smith at MetLife Stadium on Sunday night. I'm not sure what this says about Geno, about Jet fans, about anybody for that matter. When you are booing your team in August at a practice. Now, I understand if we're in the third preseason game, which is the dress rehearsal, and in the third preseason game, you know, you don't like what you've seen after the first two preseason games, and as a result, you boo. Because as a fan, if you're not playing one in the dress rehearsal, you have something to be concerned about. We've talked about this many times in this program, that it's about trends. We're going to talk with Ryan here shortly about trend line when it comes to golf and the PGA. And what's really concerning to me is, or what would be concerning, and where I could see you booing a little bit, or at least sighing, is if in that third preseason game you haven't seen any signs of progress, or what you would perceive as progress. Now, that is something to rightfully be concerned about. But to just, at the mere sign of a practice, when you don't know what they're trying to do, when you don't know what the defense is trying to do, I mean, I don't think Todd Bowles' defense is running any crazy, you know, disguise moves. But you've got guys who don't play with each other and are still learning each other and trying to get chemistry. When you boo at a practice, it's a little concerning. We'll see what happens with Geno as time goes on. Ryan Fitzpatrick sitting there. Bryce Petty sitting there right below him. But you don't know how things will react and how they'll react as time goes on. So that's something to keep an eye on going forward. As training camp continues for the Jets, and as we get into the first preseason game this week against Detroit, there'll be a cup of coffee for a lot of those guys. But going forward, you really don't know what you'll see and what you'll get out of a lot of guys until you play for real, either in that third preseason game or in the actual season opener, which for the Jets is against the Cleveland Browns on September 13th. Probably won't be Johnny Football. Probably be Josh McCown. Still will be interesting no matter what. We are going to take a 30-second timeout and come back and talk about the Barracuda Championship when we come back, and then we'll talk to Ryan Ballinger about the PGA Championship. That's all coming up, coming at you next right here. I'm teeing it up with Jeremy Schilling exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA's been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
We are back on Teeing Up with Jeremy Schilling. We will be joined shortly by Ryan Ballinger. We talk about the PGA Championship. I want to briefly talk about the Barracuda Championship. And if you're wondering why I want to talk about the Barracuda Championship, which was the opposite field event to Bridgestone Invitational, which was won by Shane Lowry, it is this, the fact that when you look at J.J. Henry, who... And I honestly forget the line that Gary McCord used, but it was so good. Gary's point way back when was essentially, J.J. Henry's nothing special. He's not going to wow you. He's not going to, have you doing backflips about anything apart from his, game. He's not the best looking guy. Or he's not ripped. He's not going to be on the cover of magazines, but he's a very consistent golfer that makes a lot of birdies. And when you look at J.J. Henry versus Kyle Reifers, who here's a young guy trying to make his way, came out of the last reshuffle period basically 16th and on the border of keeping his PGA Tour card, and battles in that playoff and ultimately loses to J.J. Henry, but... the thing I love about opposite field events is the dueling storylines that you get, whether it's veterans like J.J. Henry or young guys like Kyle Reifers trying to make do, and obviously J.J. won that in fantastic form last night, but it's just fascinating stories. And a guy who likes to tell fascinating stories is our friend Ryan Ballinger from the Golf News Net and Yahoo's Golf Blog. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us as always.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. Fun finish last night to the Barracuda Championship. I'm not sure a lot of people saw it, but that modified Stableford scoring system format is pretty good for that event.
I wish we saw more modified Stableford. We play it every year in a buddy trip. I go on with my in-laws, and we have match play and modified table for at the same time. And it just makes it so much more fun. We play with handicaps and kind of change the system so people are in the positive instead of in the negative that they otherwise would be in. But I think that's the way to go. I mean, it's just a nice change-up where you can make a big move really quickly. Obviously, Kyle Reifers did that with three eagles to make that big move. And then for J.J. Henry to hold on with an eagle, obviously the points don't matter in sudden death. But I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a great finish.
Here's something interesting that I just realized, because my first question to you was was about Tiger's restaurant. And has Tiger been on site today at Whistling Straits? Because it would be very interesting if he was there yesterday, flew back today for the restaurant opening, and then would go back tomorrow. Has he been on site today?
That's a really good question. I'm not up in Kohler right now. I come up tomorrow, but I have not seen pictures of him there or, for that matter, at Jupiter. So I don't know the answer to that, but that would be pretty fascinating. He fired up the jet to go up and play a practice round on Sunday, than to come back for his restaurant opening. But that's, I mean, if you have the money, that's not the issue. So I don't know the answer to that, but maybe he is there. I know they did a soft opening over the weekend, and I assume he was there for that because several people that he knows pretty well were sharing photos on Instagram about it. So I assume he was there for part of it, but I didn't see him in those either. So I have no idea whether he's going to be at the opening or where on earth he is right now. So that's a good question.
Interesting. I'm trying to scroll through Twitter here, and I don't see anything. Somebody just said late afternoon Monday practice session for Tiger, but I cannot find the source of that tweet. So let me see if I can find the source of it, and then I'll get back to you as we keep talking. But the reason why I wanted to ask that question was that you posted an article today about the early Yelp reviews, and they seem very positive. And from the pictures I saw, the place looked very nice.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. I mean, I obviously have no idea whether he had much of a hand in that design. But if he does, he has a great touch for modern interior design, especially for a restaurant, for a guy who's never done one before. If that's not the case, then whoever he hired has earned their money because it looks gorgeous. I think it'll do really well. It's an interesting concept, an upscale sports bar, where obviously you think, when you think sports bar, you think either dive or chain, like Buffalo Wild Wings, which there's nothing wrong with B-dubs, but it's not, you don't think swanky and really nice unless you're in like Legacy Stadium in Vegas. So to bring that kind of concept, which is, I would imagine someone would have kind of modeled after, into a different community, into Florida, which is a well-off place, I think it's a good idea. I think it'll thrive.
Yeah. Speaking of surprises, are you surprised that Mr. McIlroy is going to tee it up and says he's 100% and says it's a non-issue, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, it's clearly not 100% because at one point he admitted in the same quote to ESPN that he fined a play that he couldn't play soccer. So you're not 100% if you can't do everything you would normally do. So he's at best 90%. But is 90% of Rory McIlroy good enough to accomplish something in a major championship? I guess we'll find that out. But I am a little surprised that he's going to play, but not entirely surprised, because he's setting up to do something unprecedented in a bad way if he doesn't defend two of the four major championships he won last year. So I think this is more of a pride thing than anything else. There's going to be ring rust. There's got to be. He hasn't played competitively since the U.S. Open, basically. So for him, the question mark is, how long will it take to get over not playing competitively? And at the same time, can he keep it on planet Earth at a Pete Dye course where if you're off track, you're in some nasty stuff with some uneven lies, and that can really aggravate his ankle injury. So I'm curious to see how long it'll take to get back into the groove of things if he does it all. And then if he doesn't, can he withstand the stress on his ankle of the walk that's going to be in front of him?
sorry, excuse me. What's interesting to me about this is we ended the Open Championship with Zach just eclipsing a host of really qualified guys. And so far this year, we've had a major run of really qualified guys. And I asked you for the Open Championship, you know, weren't we due for a fluky major winner? And if you think about it, Mark Leishman could have been hypothetically a fluky major winner, but it didn't happen that way. This golf tournament has led to two playoffs at Whistling Straits in the previous two times that it's hosted. And Martin Keimer, while not a journeyman, was not the biggest name when he won in 2010. This was his biggest win on this soil. As you project out to this week, with all the headlines being about Spieth and all the headlines being about Rory, and if you look at Jason Day, who's been so close this year, I think those are probably the big three names everybody's kind of circling. Do you think that the way this is going to be set up tends or could lead to a less than stellar winner?
Well, I mean, I think in obviously when Martin Keimer won 5 years ago, we were like, who the hell is this guy? And what is he doing winning a major championship? I mean, we had a sense of what Bubba Watson was going to do because he had done well at the Travelers. But I think this course has lent itself to at least excitement. I mean, that's kind of what Pete Dye courses tend to do. They bring the field closer together because there are bound to be enough guys that are playing well that can kind of scorch the Pete Dye course pretty well. So, I mean, I think with all the only problem I have with the idea that there's going to be an out-of-nowhere champion is that there are just so many guys playing really good golf right now. Obviously, you've got Spieth and McIlroy. You've got Fowler, Day, Dustin Johnson. They can figure out how to stop shooting 150 on the weekend. You got Zach Johnson. We can name 10 or 15 guys. I mean, we did our power rankings this week today, and it was no problem coming with 15 guys I thought had a legitimate chance to win, and 20 guys where I didn't think it was all that crazy if they won. So that's a lot to go through for somebody that may not have the biggest pedigree, you know, the biggest CV in the world in terms of professional success. But if you think about guys that maybe the general public doesn't know about, what about like Brooks Koepka or Shane Lowry? Obviously people know about him now, but even still the general sports public probably has no idea who Shane Lowry is. And those guys are playing incredible golf. Danny Willett is another one of those guys. Two wins on the European Tour, but no one in this country really understands him. So I think that there is room for a guy like that to win, but I don't know if there's enough room for the guys that are playing well for someone who is a 100-to-1 long shot, for example.
Yeah, talking to Ryan Ballinger here about the PGA Championship. Ryan, Jordan kind of came off like he was crushed, but he came off after the Open Championship loss like it was a tournament loss and a major loss and not a chance at the Grand Slam loss. And his comments since have kind of wavered back and forth between it's just a loss and it would have been cool. He struggled to find consistent form last week at Firestone, but found it yesterday with the Sunday 66. Where do you think Jordan's head is at, and how do you see this week shaping up for Jordan?
It's an excellent question. I mean, I've kind of got the same sense of mixed messages and reaction. But we got to remember, the guy's 22 years old, and he still thinks somewhere in his head there's a chance this is going to happen again, where he gets another crack at a Grand Slam. Because that's what you think at 22, when you're not even brilliant. You just think you've got the life in front of you, and there are going to be so many chances to do great things. And then the years pass by and it doesn't necessarily pan out that way as you imagine it when you're 22 and you adjust and all those things. But that's philosophical. But I think for him, he's thinking, okay, well, yeah, this is terrible news, but I have an opportunity in front of me. And I think he does a really good job of taking letdowns and turning them into opportunity. And the opportunity in front of him is to become the third person in modern golf history to win 3 majors in a year. And if he wins 3 majors this year, then he will have won 3 and finish 4th in another. That is better than what Tiger Woods did in 2000, at least in relationship to the leaderboard. Tiger finished 5th at the Masters behind Vijay Singh. So, and he was closer to winning the Open Championship because obviously there's a 3-guy playoff. So if you want to make some kind of assessment or build yourself up if you're Jordan Spieth and go, well, I could have the best major season in history, arguably, if I win this week. I think that's plenty of motivation for him. I think for him to get that good round in there on Sunday, kind of like we did at Memorial, had a really good round on Sunday. Obviously, he didn't have the sweat that he did at Memorial with Ling Merton Rose and all kinds of guys battling at the top and kind of coming back to him. But he feels like he gets a good round in there. He feels like there's confidence on Sunday. Maybe he feels a little tingle of competition. I think those are good things for him. He's done going into the majors exactly what he wants to do, which is to feel like he's close, feel like he's got a chance. And if that's all he needs to be competitive in a major, then he should do really well this week.
I thought the most important win that anybody's had probably in the last 4 or 5 months was Jason Day in Canada. He needed to get a victory. He needed to get that ball to the hole in the 72nd hole. You could see the emotion just pouring out of him. You knew how important that was. And I think he was able to erase a bunch of demons in that moment, because first he had the vertigo, and then he left the putt short, and now he got a victory. For me, yes, it was only the Canadian Open, but for me that win meant a ton more than just being a regular PGA Tour event. What was your read on his victory?
I think so, too. I mean, I think that even if you just don't factor in the things that happened at the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, this is his first season where he got more than one win. So that's a big accomplishment for any player. So that deserves an outpouring of emotion. That is something to tell you, I'm not just a flash in the pan who gets it done occasionally. I can win anywhere, anytime. And that's a big validating thing for a professional, I think. And then the other piece of it is, like you said, he's got all this crap. He's gotten so close. And pretty much every major, he's been within a millimeter's grasp of that major trophy. And he hasn't done it yet. And I think for him to come back after the special heartbreak of the British Open, where he was healthy enough to give himself a chance, although and came up short on the 72nd hole, to come back the next week and go, I'm going to get this damn putt to the hole if it kills me. And he did. I think that's a big confidence boost. I think we forget a little bit, and I was watching this the other night at our golf club, that he was in the thick of it 5 years ago when he was a much different player than he is now. And I think the confidence that he has, and hopefully what he can draw upon what he did 5 years ago, is a really good combination. I've heard a lot and seen a lot on Twitter today of people saying Jason Day is the guy to beat. And I don't think you can argue with that very much, because the percentage to tell you Jordan Spieth's not going to win, because there are only two guys who have ever done what he's going to try to do. Rory McIlroy's got ring rust. Dustin Johnson can't finish on the weekend. Bubba Watson takes himself out of a major championship win when a fly lands on his ball. So you've got all these guys that have somewhat either flaws or history against them. Jason Day doesn't. The history against him is he hasn't done it yet, but he's gotten so close that maybe this is his time. So I really like his chances. And I think, like you said, the Canadian Open win was enormous for his confidence and what it means for him to have a chance to win this week.
Yeah, I completely agree. And by the way, I have not seen anything official from anybody on a verified feed that Tiger is at Whistling Straits today. So that random tweet that I found while searching may have been somebody just randomly tweeting something to try to up their following, because I don't believe Tiger's there, which is interesting. Anyway, I want to spend a minute talking about Phil Mickelson, because I feel like nobody else wants to talk about Phil Mickelson. This dude's game is nothing. He's been flat for months. And he's gotten no coverage about it. None. Ever since he was close at Augusta, nobody wants to give any time on Phil Mickelson. Why, Ryan, is this story being so undercovered?
I think for the same reason that Rory McIlroy isn't getting lambasted for his spokesman flat-out lying to Irish Golf Desk about a Saturday practice round. Goodwill. I mean, tomorrow, when I get up there, assuming that the time I get up there works with McIlroy's press conference, I'm going to ask him, what in the world happened? Why did Reuters have a source that was right and your spokesman try to shoot it down? Or did your spokesman not know? Or did you just want to keep it quiet? Well, what the hell is wrong with you? And I think the same thing applies to Phil Mickelson, which is he's built up this goodwill. He's got five majors. He's 45. Everyone wants him to finish the career grand slam. They want him to go out with a bang. And I think that's why he's getting the kid glove treatment instead of going, What is going on with your game? You can't putt. You try something different every week. You're all over the planet. You can't keep the ball in play. You won't change your game or your approach to trying to get the ball in play. What are you trying to do here? What is the big point? And you're 35th or, 36th in President's Cup points. You never miss one of those. You're going to miss it because there's no reason to put you on the team with the way that you played this year. And there's no holding feet to the fire. And I don't know if that's because people are so willing to move to the next generation with Spieth obviously getting plenty of good press, and McIlroy, I don't know what it is, but I just assume that it is the goodwill that he has built up over the years that has kind of made him bulletproof in terms of this, in terms of the gambling story, in terms of the insider trading charges. I mean, all those things are still out there, and nobody's done anything about it on Phil, and it just seems like he's gotten a pass for pretty much anything. And I think he's basing that on the equity he's built with the media over the years.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And to your point about Rory's publicist lying to Reuters, my suspicion was Rory will say either A, there was some sort of miscommunication, which I doubt he'll say, but I think it's a possibility, or B, he could say we were trying to keep it under the radar. But the fault with that was Golf Channel was going to have a crew up there, no matter what, for technical purposes, trying to get their set constructed. And then they were smart to send Todd up there. And lo and behold, Golf Channel got the big scoop on that.
Yeah, and if that's the excuse, then Rory's an idiot, because it's not like everyone just shows up on Monday and lays the cable and builds everything, and there's not going to be anybody there. You show up on Saturday, either someone with media and really nice cameras is going to be there and shoot you, or someone with a cell phone is going to get it out and shoot
you.
So that speaks to, I guess, a naivete about it. I don't know. But there's not a good excuse in my mind for what his spokesman told Irish Golf Desk, other than they wanted to keep it quiet, which I think is dumb as crap, or that they hadn't absolutely confirmed that Saturday was going to be the day. Maybe it was going to be Sunday and not Saturday at first or something like that. Those are the only two somewhat acceptable excuses. And even if that's the case, I still think that for McIlroy to go out of his way, to go tell Brian Keough, he has got a good relationship with, something that wasn't true, I think that's just bad. I mean, it's bad press relation. And again, he's built up this goodwill with people because he's honest for the most part, or likes to seem honest, and that he tells people things. And good for him for doing that. He took something to the Phil playbook. But he has proven time and again in the last few years that he isn't telling everything, and he isn't telling the truth all the time. So I think that we need to step back as media and go, let's reassess what this guy is saying, and let's reassess what star players are saying, because if they're just going to feed us lies, then what's the point? Why are we here, you know?
Yeah, no, good point. And I wonder if I wonder if part of this, too, is maybe the publicist messed up, and what they should have said is essentially he'll be seeing the doctors tomorrow. And, you know, we're not going to confirm and deny any dates because it's dependent on the doctors. As for Tiger, they had two suspensions of play due to storm. So maybe that messed up Tiger's practice plans today, hypothetically. Just something to keep in mind there. So now it's time to talk picks. And I'm going to throw in a Dustin question as a part of this. Who will win? Who's your sleeper? Who has no chance besides Lee Westwood and Phil? And where do you what chances do you give Dustin Johnson in all this?
All right, so let's take them one at a time. Winner, I think it's Ricky Fowler's time. I just got a feeling. Sleeper, not really a sleeper, but Brooks Koepka would be a good one. He's playing good golf. The other, F2, and it's just based on fantasy analysis I did today. I was outraged that these guys were getting these odds and these prices. Tony Finau could do some really good damage this week, and so could Pat Perez, who has played amazing golf this year and no one seems to notice. Been incredibly consistent, just missed one cut all year. That is not Pat Perez. He has figured out how to do that. So this is a big deal for him, a big opportunity. I think he's off the radar. Dustin Johnson, I think, will do is Dustin Johnson thing where he plays really well for 36 or 54 holes and then realizes he's never going to win a major and crack the bed. And then I forget who has no chance to win other than the wonderful people that are PGA of America professionals who are in the field. Congratulations for making it, but you're not going to win. Mark Brooks has no chance to win, so he's in the field. So let's say Mark Brooks has no chance to win. And then did I miss one?
Say the last point again, which
did
I think
I
was who was.
I think I did all the categories, but
yeah.
There you go. That's my the four ones that you asked me. So what is your kind of view in response?
Let me see here. Because I was trying to look up a sleeper here while you were saying that, which is why I failed to hear the very last part of that. My sleeper is Justin Thomas. I've been on Justin all year. Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to go Lahiri just because David Faraday picked him, and I think he's a really good sleeper pick. But I've been on Justin Thomas all year, and I think his time may come. For having no shot, obviously, any of the club pros. But I also think you look at a guy like Steve Stricker. I would love to see Strix play this week, but his game just has not come back to form since he came back from the hip. And as for my winner, I got to go Spieth. I think I got to go Spieth just because this is a special year, and I think a special guy like that bounces back like that.
I can't argue with the Spieth pick or anything else that you said. I mean, Justin Thomas would. I think Justin Thomas is in the Tuesday game with Spieth and Fowler for a reason. And Phil Mickelson is not a dumb man. He knows this is going to be a big experience for Justin Thomas, and that if he gives him a little psychological ribbing on Tuesday, then maybe he'll do great Thursday through Sunday. So that would be a great dark horse pick.
And just to loop this back to Phil, I have no idea how many of these Tuesday games he's actually won this year, but I have a feeling he's won more of those than actual tournaments, and that's troubling.
I would almost be certain of that, because especially if you've got a partner. But,
and that's troubling. I don't know why. Tim Rosefort had convinced me that this would be a new Phil this year. With the workout regimen and waking up at 4:45 and all this stuff, I was convinced that this would be the Phil of old. And I have been severely disappointed by what I've seen so far.
Well, you can say a lot of things about how you're going to fight age, but eventually age wins. And Phil Mickelson is a youthful 45, but that man is 45 years old, and it is really hard to win on the PGA Tour after the age of 44. So if he's ever going to win again, he's going to back into it, and he's going to have one of those kind of weeks where the guys that go after him that are winning majors now are going to win week to week. They're going to slip if he's going to do it on a big stage. So if that's how he backs into a U.S. Open next year at Oakmont, awesome. Can't wait to see it. But I think the days of considering Mickelson a threat to win majors and big events is over.
Yeah, probably. Ryan, safe travels. Have fun this week up there in Sheboygan, Kohler, or whatever town they officially want to say this major is held in.
I may use a different byline every day just to see if anyone notices. And the last one will be Haven, Wisconsin.
I like that idea. That's a good idea.
Because no one will notice, because no one cares. It's just a journalism.
Exactly.
Problem,
all they care about is the content. Ryan Ballinger,
right.
Thanks for coming it up.
Thanks, Jeremy. See ya.
Yep. That's teeing it up for this week. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have fun. Enjoy the PGA.